This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, May 13th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. It's been a rough week for cryptocurrencies. Some of the most popular coins have seen dramatic slides in their price. And even tokens that were meant to be stable? Well, they're falling too. On today's show, our markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff joins us to discuss what's behind the crypto retreat and what comes next. That's after these headlines. The CEO of Twitter, Parag Agarwal, says the company's pausing hiring and looking at ways to trim costs. Agarwal says Twitter may rescind some recent hiring offers and that it plans to reduce spending on operational costs like contractors, travel, marketing, and real estate. The news came in an internal memo announcing the departure of two of the company's senior executives, but Agarwal said Twitter isn't planning company-wide layoffs. The announcement comes just weeks after Twitter agreed to sell itself to Elon Musk for $44 billion. It also follows plans by other recent tech companies to pause hiring amid a slowdown in digital advertising. SoftBank says its big portfolio of tech companies took a loss of over $26 billion in the first quarter. That came alongside a record annual loss for the company for the second time in 3 years. CEO Masayoshi Son blamed the decline on the global economic situation and rising interest rates, and he said the company had sufficient cash. We took a look at SoftBank and the disappointing performance of its Vision Fund on Wednesday's show. So if you haven't heard that yet, you might want to queue it up next. Instacart has filed confidentially to go public. The long-awaited move comes after the company slashed its valuation by nearly 40% in March. The San Francisco-based startup got a boost during the pandemic, helping it become the biggest grocery delivery company. But more recently, its growth has been slower amid new competition and as more people return to in-person shopping. Electric vehicle startup Rivian is recalling more than 500 battery-powered pickup trucks over a potential safety risk with their airbags. Rivian says it discovered the passenger airbags may not perform properly in the event of a crash, creating a risk to any child seated in the front seat. According to data from the Federal Traffic Safety Regulator, this is the company's first recall. The EV maker says it isn't aware of any accidents or injuries related to the defect. And investors who trade on the crypto exchange Coinbase got a rude awakening this week when the company posted a reminder that traders might not actually own the digital tokens they bought on the platform. Our reporter Paul Kiernan explains the protections, or lack thereof, that Coinbase disclosed in its latest earnings report.
At a regulated securities brokerage like Charles Schwab or E-Trade, investors' stocks and bonds are legally segregated from the company. That means that if the brokerage goes under, its clients should still get their securities back. At cryptocurrency exchanges, which are not regulated at the federal level, that legal separation doesn't exist, or it's less clear at least. This is something that regulators like SEC Chair Gary Gensler have been warning about for a while. But this week, Coinbase also disclosed the risk that in the event of a bankruptcy, quote, customers could be treated as our general unsecured creditors, end quote. Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong took to Twitter after this was reported to try and reassure users that Coinbase faces no risk of bankruptcy. But the disclosure sort of added to what has been a steady drumbeat of bad news for both Coinbase and the cryptocurrency market lately.
Coinbase said this week that it lost hundreds of millions of dollars in the first quarter and saw its user base decline. Shares of the company are down about 80% so far this year. And speaking of crypto declines, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Terra USD, and many others are way down. What's behind the drop? And could it be a signal of a bumpy road ahead for the market? We'll discuss after the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with. Listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at GT.com.
Over the past week, prices of cryptocurrencies have been plunging. Bitcoin, the world's largest cryptocurrency, is in the middle of its longest losing streak since March 2020. It was below $28,500 as of 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, down 22% from the week before. The second most popular crypto, Ethereum, was at just $1,900, down 4% over the same time period. Now, cryptos are no stranger to wild swings in value, but even coins that are meant to be stable are experiencing dips. Terra USD has its value tied to the US dollar. One Terra is supposed to equal $1. But this week, it dropped as low as 23 cents, according to CoinDesk. That's got investors spooked, and regulators raising concerns. Joining us to discuss what's behind all of this is WSJ Markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff. Hi, Caitlin. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with Terra USD. We've seen this massive dive. It's supposed to be worth $1. Now it's worth a lot less. What happened there?
Yeah, so over last weekend, you had a series of massive multi-million dollar withdrawals that happened of the so-called stablecoin, Terra USD. And because you had a bunch of withdrawals happening from a couple of places in like kind of like this bowl of cryptocurrency soup where you typically have a lot of liquidity, it's very easy to buy and sell. Because all of that was being sold at once, it really spooked people, whether that be institutions or individual traders. And so from those massive withdrawals, which already kind of put the peg under pressure, you then had more and more selling from people who got nervous. And so it created this cascade where all of a sudden everyone was selling Terra USD, and there wasn't a lot of buying or stabilization that could happen. And so it broke from its peg, and that's kind of intensified over the last couple of days. It's eased up slightly at the moment, but it was at 23 cents on Wednesday, and it should be at $1, and I think now it's closer to about 60. But it's very volatile, and you know, it's something where it had been relatively stable before, but the amount of selling that happened was enough to force it away.
And has that had ripple effects on other stablecoins?
Yeah, so you've started to see some ripple effect, and not just in stablecoins, but in cryptocurrency broadly. So one of the interesting things about this particular stablecoin, which was a so-called algorithmic stablecoin, it didn't have kind of hard currency reserves backing it. But what it did have was it had a Bitcoin reserve that the creators had started to accumulate. And because of that, they've sold a lot of the Bitcoin that they had amassed. They had about $3 billion before all of this to defend the peg. And so you've seen, on one hand, a massive selling pressure in Bitcoin. It hit like 25,000 on Thursday. But you've also had ripples into other stablecoins because now people are questioning whether other stablecoins are, well, stable.
Let's talk about those drops in cryptocurrency more broadly, because this isn't isolated to Terra USD or Tether or stablecoins. Why are we seeing the value of cryptos broadly fall so much?
Yeah, I mean, crypto is really getting hit by two things at once. So on the one hand, you have like kind of the macroeconomic backdrop, which is, you know, you had inflation data that came out on Wednesday, which showed that inflation isn't quite calming down at the rate that people hoped it would. And so you have concern that the Federal Reserve is going to have to really tighten policy. It's going to have to hike interest rates more aggressively than maybe people hoped for as they try and curb inflation. And what that means for crypto is, I mean, crypto has boomed in the last 2 years since they dropped rates to zero, since the pandemic happened. People spent more time at home. And now if all of a sudden you have this much tighter monetary policy, you know, it doesn't necessarily create a favorable backdrop for things that are perceived as a bit more risky. And so in line with stocks, crypto has been selling off with that. And then on top of that, you have this kind of second hit coming from Terra USD and the fallout there, because it did touch Bitcoin a bit. And even just generally, I think there's a concern that, you know, potentially this could be a turning point for regulation, at least of stable coins, because, you know, you had Janet Yellen commenting on this the other day in the Senate Banking Committee hearing, like, when the Treasury Secretary is paying attention to an algorithmic stablecoin, like, it's not really great.
I mean, so do we expect regulators to do anything now? There's been a lot of comments in the last few months about whether regulators should be stepping in more.
Yeah, I mean, certainly this has, like, renewed those calls. I mean, ultimately, what Treasury Secretary Yellen was asking for was for Congress to pass a law governing the regulation of stablecoins. But I guess whether we actually see regulation from this is an open question, and what that regulation looks like, I don't think anyone knows.
What about the toll on retail investors? I mean, this has kind of been a big market for retail investors to get into, to buy all sorts of different cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, I mean, the broad sell-off has really hurt a lot of individual investors who, honestly, like, again, for the last 2 years, they've seen Bitcoin go up, you know, north of $70,000. They've seen Dogecoin even make it to, like, 70 cents. Like, if you want to talk about things that probably shouldn't have a significant value but did. And so for a lot of people, like, this was an avenue to make money, and not all of them were just seeking to get rich. You know, some people did view this as savings for, you know, things in the future.
Given these kinds of movements that we've seen, you know, in Terra, USD, in Bitcoin, should we be thinking about cryptocurrency and cryptocurrency investments kind of like investing in kind of any risky equity? I mean, is this just kind of like a different tech stock that people are buying?
To some degree, like, investing in crypto is a little bit analogous to investing in tech, just in terms of how the market seems to view the risk associated with each of them. Like, everyone's selling tech stocks right now. Like, the NASDAQ is not having a good time of it either. But at the same point, you know, crypto is slightly different. So if you're thinking of, do you invest in Apple? Do you invest in Meta platforms? You know, those are companies where you do have a lot of transparent information around what they're doing, even if that involves listening to Mark Zuckerberg's monologues on videos. With crypto, you don't necessarily have that. You know, you're kind of at the whim of how much information various projects disclose, because there's not really a set requirement for that. And so you're kind of, as an individual investor, left to go read the literature yourself, read the tea leaves, and try and figure out, you know, is this a sustainable project? Do I have enough information to make that decision? And that can be really difficult to know, especially with new projects, and especially if you are not super versed in crypto. And honestly, even if you are, there were a lot of people who were very, very smart in crypto who really did believe in Terra USD and its sister cryptocurrency Luna, who have also, you know, been caught out in this. And so it's similar in some ways, but it's also very different in terms of kind of where the baseline is.
All right. That was our reporter, Caitlin Ostroff. Thanks for joining us, Caitlin.
Thanks.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. We had editorial support from Scott Salloway. Our supervising producer is Chris Sinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.